prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. Really, kind of stepping back in time, I'm looking at Aaron Singerman's face. He'll be on the screen in just a second. It feels like old times for those of you who used to listen to Off Topic. Look who just joined, Mitch Barham. Yes, hey, Mitch. I got to get this out of the way real quick. Superhuman Radio would not be possible without a generous sponsorship from All American Pharmaceuticals. Check them out. Go to superhumanradio.net and check out all of the wonderful products that they have. Let's get rid of the solo and bring my buddy in. There he is, Aaron Singerman. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, Carl. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. So I haven't sat face-to-face with Aaron in too long, and he hasn't changed at all. You look good, man. You're aging very, very well. I got to be honest with you. You really are. And I see you everywhere.
I have a lot of stress.
You do have a lot of stress, don't you?
I do. I have a lot of stress, and I've had a lot of stress. So if I appreciate you saying that I'm aging well. I'm not sure. You know, now I'm 38 years old, and I felt pretty confident about it until the last few years, and now I gotta. That's why I'm losing weight. Hopefully, doing
you
cardio
look,
every morning.
You look great, man. I've been following your progress. I've been looking at your pictures. I mean, you look amazing. And you go by the name the anabolic CEO, right?
The anabolic CEO. That terminology was given to me by that name. The moniker was given to me by Eduardo, the chief of staff over here, who was my assistant originally at Blackstone and came over here with me to start Redcon. And he came up with that name when I was pressing. I pressed 140 pound dumbbells on incline for some reps, and so he put on there anabolic CEO, and now that has been kind of caught on.
I love it. I like it a lot. It shows that you walk the walk. There's a lot of people out there making supplements today, and they really don't walk the walk, at least anymore. They did at one point in time, but you're sticking with it, and that's really good. And I know for you, it's more your love has always been bodybuilding, and the supplement industry became a way for you to make a contribution to bodybuilding. But you've always loved bodybuilding since you were a young guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, originally, when I started figuring out what I wanted to do with my life, and when me and you started working together with Off Topic Radio, and when we met, I don't know, 2007 or whenever that was that we first started talking on the phone and everything, I really was trying to figure out what to do with my life and how to be successful and what I would do, what venue I would go through to find success. And I was pretty narrowly focused on bodybuilding. And me, like when you said, what kind of radio show do you want to do? It didn't take me but 1 second to tell you bodybuilding radio show.
Right.
You
know? Right. And I remember when, and I don't want to talk about all the old stuff because there's a lot of interesting stuff I want to talk about that's in your life now. But I remember like all the time you used to spend on MD, on musculardevelopment.com. I mean, you had insane number of posts over there and you were like, you became like a big contributor. Look who just said waved hello. Do you know Darielle Singerman? Do you know her?
I know her. I know her pretty well.
She's beautiful. You know her? You got so lucky to get her because you had some train wrecks in your past. And yes. You know what? Yeah. You're such a decent guy. I don't know if people know this about you, but you're such a decent guy. You're such a big-hearted guy. And there have been girls in your past that didn't really deserve your time, but you were kind enough to like want to be with them. And I look at your life with them, like now you wouldn't be where you are now because you wouldn't have the support system that you have with Darielle. It's amazing.
No, I got very, very lucky. And she came along far before I had any of the success that I currently have or that I'm enjoying now. You know, she came along when I was making $3,000 a month from RX Muscle. This is before I became the editor-in-chief, before I got any sponsorship deals, and she was making like $4,000 a month, and she was the breadwinner.
Right.
Yeah,
right. It's nice. It's really nice. So I asked you this question before we got on the air, and since Darielle is there watching, and you know, I get in trouble sometimes because when I get home, people are texting me, they're texting you, and I'm answering texts, and it starts to kind of impinge on the personal life. And I said to you, does Dariel get upset with you when, you know, you're answering texts all the time? Because you're really available. Like, I text you and you text me right back all the time. And I know I'm not the only person doing that. How do you deal with that? And how does she deal with it?
Well, number one, I'll say that I have, as you know, a very compulsive and obsessive personality. And a lot of the reason why I believe that I am successful doing what I'm doing is that same characteristics that could be very looked at very easily as negative. So that kind of carries on throughout my entire life. And when I get an email, I have a compulsion to answer it. When I have a phone call, I have to answer. I have to call the guy back or a text message. If you text me, I feel like I need to respond. And because I was such a procrastinator my entire life, I really don't allow myself to procrastinate even a tiny, tiny bit. No matter what, I write back and I am very quick to respond. That being said, it does cause issues, and she would like me to disconnect much more than I am. That's why I make a schedule. I make time to put my kids to bed, to play with them, to have family day on Sundays. You know, I do things in my schedule that are like set in stone. That I do no matter what, so that my obsessive nature doesn't hurt my family life. And I can say that I believe I have a very, very healthy life with my kids. And I do realize that no matter how much business and how much, you know, new revenue I can bring in, ultimately the kids are far, far more important. And that is the most important thing in my life.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff, I make sure that I take a second and realize that I'm doing this for a purpose. And don't neglect the children to make more money. I can, you know what I'm saying?
You know me. I know exactly what you're saying. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to be 60 this year. So all of a sudden death actually comes into my mind more often than it used to. And I think about the things that I want to do, and I think about the things that I would like to do, and then I think about the things that are important to me to do. And it comes down to the people in your life before anything else. Right. So I get that. So Bill Schultz asked the question. He said, how are things with you and PJ? Hope you guys kill it together. Do you and PJ work your deals out, your differences out?
We're definitely not at odds anymore. You know, we broke up the Blackstone Labs business. Our partnership ended. So it ended in a very dramatic fashion, obviously. And you know, he did a lot of things that I think he regrets now. And he acted in a way, he's a very passionate, emotional guy. And I think that he said some untrue things about me to people. And so how do I feel? We're not friends. I wouldn't say he's my friend, but I definitely don't have any animosity, and I've moved on from it. I hope that he has success in whatever he does. And I hope that he is happy in his life. I know he's having a lot of tough times now and has had a lot of tough times. And I hope that he gets out of all that. And I wish him success and happiness. So will we be killing it together? No, we're not going to be killing it together. I hope he's killing it on his own because, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. So that's kind of it. Does that make sense?
But you know what? And Redcon 1, so it had to be scary for you. It, you know, everybody looks at you and thinks you've got the formula. You know, you do the CEO shows and the what's that other one? Secret Posse show and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, you know, and when you talk, it's like, wow, man, this guy's got it so together. But at the same time, it had to be scary for you because while you were driven by a mission to go in a different direction than you were going in Blackstone Labs, and I know that, while you were driven by that mission, you had to worry a little bit, like, because reproducing success isn't a guarantee. I know a lot of people who've had success, and then everything they've done after that just didn't work out. How did you overcome your fear?
So, for one, I wasn't driven to do this. I was expelled. I was kicked out of Blackstone Lab. So it was literally, I went to work one day, and I was told, "Get your shit and get the fuck out." And so it wasn't. There was no option where I could be like, "Hey, let's make it work," or whatever. There was nothing. There was no chance for that. Basically, we avoided a legal battle by coming up with an agreement between he and I that worked out really well for me. I don't know how he would say it worked out for him at this point, but I think for me, I can safely say that I came away good. The bad part was that my baby was no longer mine. So I invested, you know, 5 years of my life into building a company and created a success that, yeah, you don't know. It's, I mean, very rarely, I think, do people walk away from a success like that and immediately create another success that's even bigger.
Right.
I think that's very rare.
Right.
So what I did was I took a day to be depressed, and I was depressed. I drank and I didn't know what I was going to do. And the next morning I woke up and I said, fuck it. Let's go. I'm going full on. Because in my deal, in my separation agreement, I was able to compete directly, which in a lot of agreements like this, we're not able to. So I was able to literally compete in the exact same playing field, in the same demographic right away. So I said, okay, let's do it. And I went and I brought the people that were fired with me or left with me, you know, Eduardo, Eric Hart, my father-in-law, Howard, and Eddie, who is my nanny's husband. He got fired because the nanny, I guess it was too close.
Right.
So he came and was the warehouse manager, a very handy guy who can fix anything. So we sat down at Flex Lewis's office, and I borrowed his office for a week. We came up with a name, a logo, an idea, and we were off to the races. And so I had one day of doubt. And then I think it was full on for the next 2 months until the first shirts and products were released. I had Dallas McCarver on board within the first 72 hours from having the logo. I didn't even have a name. I just had a logo, an idea for a logo. And Dallas said he's willing to move across the country and live here and represent the brand as the face of the brand. I had manufacturers offering me, you know, terms, and people believed in what I was capable of. And so did I. I see my mom just logged.
I know. I got to get her. I'm trying to get her up on the screen here. I'm using the wrong. I got three computers in front of me and two mice. I'm trying to get her there. There we go. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, mom. So when, there was only one other moment of doubt, and this was an interesting one. We had the t-shirts going, we had Dallas, we had social media pumping, we were really going, and the products came in, and we did this midnight release. And, by then we had about 10 people in the office. I had a little bit of a marketing team, we had the core group, and we were up here. We had rented this space that we're in now, and it was very empty. It was basically a big empty space. And we were going to hit the go button, you know, make it live. And about 5 minutes before we hit the go button, I started thinking, oh, shit, man. What happens if, like, we hit the button and then nobody buys anything? Like, there's no, like all this, you know, hoopla, and then nobody gives a fuck. And it's all like, oh, this all was pointless, you know. And I had, like, 5 minutes. And then she hit the button, and it was like cha-ching, 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 cha-ching.
Just like that commercial that they do about getting your own website up. They turn it on, and the numbers start spinning.
That was exactly how it happened. I mean, realistically, that was how it happened. And we did something around $10,000 in the middle of the night on the first night on the website. And it was like – it just felt like that, you know, that feeling that I had the whole 2 months of building where I was like, I know this is going to work. It's going to be huge. Even though I had that 5 minutes, it came all back, and it hasn't left since. So
you have a formula for creating names for companies, and I remember the story that you told once before that you, PJ, and Darielle sat around a table and came up with Blackstone Lab. So it's a color and something hard, and you put them together, right?
Okay, so that is the original way that we came up with Blackstone Labs. Actually, I came up with the name Blackstone Labs. We were at the table at our old house, me and Darielle and PJ, and literally at the time we were just coming up with the name of an LLC to register on SunBiz. That would never mean anything because we're just trying to sell some products, some extra bottles. So we were sitting there and debating. And finally I was like, what are we spending all this time for? It's not like this is going to be anything. Like, it's just going to be a name on a check or a name on an account. Right. So we came up with, the name Blackstone, and we're like Labs, you know, like, everybody's name is Labs, Iron Mag Labs. So that's who we worked for before. So that made sense. So with Black and Stone and then Labs. Now I do it a lot different. So now I understand marketing and branding on a much different level. So when I come up with a name, I'm going to give you the
formula.
Quick. Number one, you want a name that's easy to remember. That's important. You want a name that's easy to spell. Very important. You want a name that you have the URL for, which is extremely hard. You put those two together, easy to remember, easy to spell, and you have the URL for. That's tough. Now you're starting to get a little tougher. Because all the good URLs are gone, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to get the registration. You have to be able to get a trademark for it. So you have to have all these four factors. And then if you're really good, you can get a name that's descriptive, so that means something, so that you can – and this is where it gets close to impossible. So if you have a name like Redcon 1, if you Google Redcon 1, Redcon 1 comes up as the highest state of readiness. So now you have a name that means something. It's easy to spell, easy to remember. I own the URL and I have the trademark. So when you combine all those things, that's like an extremely hard thing to do. But I encourage people when they're coming up with a name of something to make sure that you can get the trademark, that you have the URL. And then if you're really lucky, you'll get something that means something.
Yeah. And so what made you decide to go to, was it when you, did you anticipate taking on this military, wrapper around the company, or did you get Redcon One first and then go, yeah, we'll just go military style?
One last thing for my last point. I forgot, the shorter the better.
Yeah.
Shorter the better. Right. So like Redcon One obviously is very short in terms of, it's only six digits letters, right?
Right.
Ideally you want to be in that six or less. Now you put all those factors together, it's close to impossible.
Right.
The answer to the question was that I wanted to make something different. So right from the very get-go, I didn't want to do another Blackstone Labs. I didn't want to have another copycat brand that was very similar, that looked the same, that had the same products. I mean, ultimately, if you're going to be compliant with the FDA, which I am 100% compliant. We try to make every single thing, every ingredient. We're trying to do every single thing right. So that means if you're doing everything right, which, you know, obviously Blackstone Labs is more edgy in terms of the ingredients, then you better be sure that you are that you have something cool and different and unique, because the ingredients are all the same. So, you know what I mean? There's only so many things you can use
right.
in your products. If you go outside of this, then you're now in an area that I don't want to be, basically. Basically, we started thinking of like an idea for a brand. And I had met these two Navy SEALs, Brandon Cruz and Ryan Bates, who are awesome. I mean, these two guys are like the best. So my intention originally was to use those two guys as the front men for the brand. And I actually talked to them about what kind of products they like and what kind of branding they like, the color palette they use, like Coyote Khaki and Matte Black and the colors that you see that we use today. A lot of that was inspired by their taste. So like, I would show them labels and they'd be like, sucks, ugly, like doesn't look like us, SEALs wouldn't like that, Teams guys don't wear those colors, etc. And even though that stuff doesn't matter ultimately in the marketing thing, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with what they think. You know, I'm going to go because I don't want it to look like everything else. I don't want it to be every other brand. So these are two guys that have no experience in our industry whatsoever.
Right.
They don't even have any art experience. But they're like, that's cool. When I showed them these labels, like, those are cool. And they're like, oh, the Digicamo at the top, that's really cool. It stands out. I like that. I would buy that. And so that's kind of how it got going initially. And obviously, you know, even Blackstone Labs has tons and tons of military and first responders, police. That's a very big portion of the business. So I figured I've always honored and looked up to people that gave their life to that kind of service. And, you know, I always loved the Navy SEAL stuff and the Special Forces stuff, Delta Force. I never knew any of those guys really until relatively recently. Now I know tons and tons of them. But they're a special, unique individual. And those characteristics that those guys have are the same kind of characteristics that are required to be very successful. So I've always like admired the fact that they never quit, the fact that they always give their hardest, the fact that they're willing to commit and give everything, all in or nothing. That's something that I've always admired. So it just kind of worked out. You know, even here in the office, we have one of our main guys, our Green Beret downstairs, mm-hmm. Tony Stark. As funny as that the name is, that's his name.
That really is his name?
Yes, his name. 27 years as a Green Beret. Yeah.
That's funny.
Huh?
That's funny.
I got it. You're hired.
Yeah, just because of the name. I want to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the fact that you've thrown your hat into the bar, the arena, and I want to talk about what you expect to happen and that sort of stuff. We're talking with Aaron Singerman. He is the anabolic CEO of Redcon One, and a guy who, quite frankly, came into my life at a really critical time where I was really depressed and living in a little S-hole apartment. That's become a very popular word right now. And he reached out to me and really kind of pulled me out of my funk. And I will always be thankful for that. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
We're
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then train fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See Eye Drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using Can-See Eye Drops for 11 years now, and I credit Can-See Eye Drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. Can-See Eye Drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse Can-See Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. I don't know why your microphone was open. I have it killed here. I've got it muted. Wait, I have to unmute you. I don't know why your audio was going out a second ago.
Hearing me. So as you're doing this, Carl, I'm also doing Instagram Live for Redcon. So I was talking to the people on Instagram Live, and apparently everybody else was hearing me.
Somehow it crossed over. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I'm killing this. Your mom's going, Aaron, your mic is on. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm killing all the mics. I couldn't figure out what it was. Anyway, so what made you decide to throw your hat into this ultra-competitive protein bar, supplement bar category?
So protein bars has always been something, you know, I'm interested in personally. I eat them. I was a fan of the Quest bars. Whenever I was hungry and I didn't have time for a meal, I would eat a Quest bar, or sometimes even two. It's just something I've been interested in. And I've seen, to be honest, as competitive as the bar industry is, I see a real hole in there. I personally see a hole because I've seen a lot of the big behemoths start to fall off. And so as the bigger companies start to fall off and there's a hole in terms of how they're marketing the bars, how they're actually getting out there and what they're putting in them, I feel like there's a hole that I could fill. And to be honest, one of the main reasons that I decided to finally pull the trigger is because we have a bar that's very different. Our bar is made with no whey protein sources whatsoever. It's made with salmon, beef, chicken, and eggs as protein.
Just like your MRE, which was brilliant. I mean, I've talked about your MRE on the air. It's got salmon protein. It's a whole food meal replacement as opposed to a bunch of crap.
And then for the carbs, it has our main carb source is rolled oats.
Yeah.
Which is the majority of the whole thing really is rolled oats. And then we have yams and some of the flavors like a blueberry, if it's a blueberry or goji berry. And then we're made with MCT oils for fats. So it's a very, very healthy, complete whole food drink, MRE. So we came up with MRE Bar, which is a – so that's really – I think you need to be different, just like I said about being different as a brand. Why would anybody buy MRE Bar when they could buy, you know, the Fit Crunch Bar or whatever else is out there that's good? You know, my bar I hear is popular or whatever else, Quest Bars, right? So what makes – what's your differentiating factor? So for us, you're getting a whole food bar. It says right on the thing. It says MRE Bar and right there at the top. Whole food bar. And I think that people, when you try it, when you taste it, you will immediately realize something is different. And that's what got me excited about it, is because when you eat most of the protein bars, whether you realize it or not, they have a protein bar aftertaste from the whey protein.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad aftertaste sometimes, it's just aftertaste. But when you eat the MRE bar or you drink normal MRE, you can tell, you can physically tell something is different.
So that really led the way. Your meal replacement kind of led the way for the formula. It was just a matter of now putting it into a bar form.
Yeah, literally, Carl, we used the raw blend, the protein raw blend and the carb raw blend, and we send that to the bar manufacturer, and they utilize the actual blend to make the bar.
And are you coming out with a new MRE that is going to be low carb?
Yeah, we're doing an MRE light, which is for all the people out there that are carb conscious or on a diet or whatever, or girls that don't want it or whatever the reason being. So the whole purpose for the original MRE is that it's a meal replacement. So that's why you have fats and seven. So for a full serving of MRE, it's 75 grams of carbs. So that a lot of people don't want that. They don't need that, right? You don't want it. There you go. Yeah. You're one of them. Yeah. My wife uses two servings. Two scoops instead of four. So she gets 37 and a half, but even sometimes 37 and a half is more than she would want.
Right.
Maybe she would want one scoop and then one scoop of a protein version. So we did this MRE Light, which comes out in February this month coming up. And it only has 4 grams of carbs per scoop instead of the full serving. So you can utilize it as a protein blend, just like you would anything else, an isotope, an isolate or whatever, or a blend. And it's the same protein sources with very, very moderate carbohydrates and still has the healthy fats.
So you just won an award, right, from a website called Jacked for Stack. Brand of the Year?
Yeah, so Stack3D number one industry website for sports supplements specifically. They cover other industry stuff too, but sports supplements. And it's looked at and read on a daily basis by some of the larger retailers, the bigger distribution, certainly the international distribution, a lot of the people that are in the actual industry in terms of formulation or brand ownership or sales guys, and they get a lot of traffic. You know, they get probably a good, you know, I would say 30, 40,000 people a day to visit the site. So it's not, you know, a media hub where tons and tons and tons of, but all of the industry people check. And so even though it's not like some award from CNN, this is as big a deal or bigger deal than bodybuilding.com award. It's as big as in our industry has. And they gave us the brand of the year, not the new brand of the year, the brand of the year, which is pretty awesome because we've only been around 18 months. And in the history of their awards, nobody's ever gotten it in the first full year of doing business. And I think that says something.
Yeah, no, because brand of the year is a much harder category to crack. The new brand of the year could be like any small thing. It's more like an honorable mention, a new brand of the year, because you could still be a small player and get new brand of the year. But in order to get brand of the year, you got to be competing against everybody else.
Right. That means we're competing against the Optimums and the big boys, you know, the Glambia brands and Muscle Tech and all of the rest of them. Yeah.
Okay. I want to change subjects for a second. So what's different about fatherhood that you didn't anticipate? Obviously, you had ideas of what it would be to be a father because you're your own dad and your relationship with him and other people. But once you stepped into the shoes of being a dad, what changed in your life?
Oh, well, everything changed. Everything changed. The one thing I would say that I wasn't expecting, that I wasn't anticipating, is that no matter what's going on in my life, no matter what is bad or good or whatever happening, no matter if I'm not feeling the best or whatever, when I'm around my kids and I'm playing with them and they're smiling and we're together, none of that stuff seems to matter. And I think that that's something that I wouldn't have anticipated. I'm a pretty happy guy by nature. I'm not somebody who gets depressed and upset a lot. And, you know, thankfully not a lot of stuff bothers me too much. But even if I'm having a bad day, like when all that stuff was happening with Blackstone, the fact that I could play with Asher and Aiden was a baby, but I could play with Asher and we could wrestle around, it made all that stuff seem like it wasn't as important, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It puts life in perspective. There's no doubt about it. And it is a grounding to have children. Like you said, you know, you come back, even if you're having a bad day, they think you're the world. And so that kind of just reflects on you. How many children is enough? I know you've always told me you wanted a big family. What's big? 3, 4, 5?
Ask Arielle. She will tell you 3 is enough.
Yeah.
I am shooting for 4, at least 4. I think that it would be unrealistic at this point to still say 6, because I think that it's going to take some convincing for 4. But I think we have to have one more shot for a little girl. I think I have to.
That's sweet. That's cute. And you know what else? You know what else happens when you have 4? So they always say the middle child is the lost child.
Right. I know. Right? Darielle is the middle child.
And my son Chase was. And so they tend, you know, the young one stays the baby and always gets a lot of attention. And the first child is always like kind of the star. And the middle child kind of gets lost. So you won't have the middle child syndrome or phenomenon if you have 4. You hear that, Garrett? Darielle?
That's Darielle.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's hard on women to have babies. Let's be honest with you. Look at go for a full football team, Mitch Barham said. Yeah.
Smith.
Yeah. Tell Darielle that.
Honestly, if it was up to me, I have no stop in sight. But I think that it's really not up to me. So.
Yeah, you carrying the child is the real thing.
No problem, Carl. That's no problem for her. She could do as many as she bounces back. There's literally nobody like Darielle. She gets no stretch marks. She bounces right back. She doesn't feel bad during the pregnancy. She doesn't get sick. She bounces back. It's the actual baby's being here and being crazy that is the issue.
Yeah, it's a lot to do. Michael Lippelt says, what's that?
The carrying part, she's the best. There's nobody better than her.
Michael Lippelt says, what is the process like to turn salmon into a powder? Do you have any insights into that? Dried, right? It's just dried out, I would imagine. Yeah.
They take the fat out of it, though. They remove the fat when they get the salmon. They pull the fat out so that way it doesn't go bad. That was the initial concern, was that, like, well, this will go bad. It'll have a shorter shelf life. But no, because they remove the fat, and then they dry it. To be honest, though, I'm not an expert on that. You know, we buy it from, believe it or not, we get it from Glambia, which makes a lot of the whey protein and makes Optimum and a lot of other ones. So it's out there. It's just not widely used.
Interesting. I guess most people think it's not palatable or people won't want to buy. Yeah, I think it's great. I will have the MRE powder post-workout because I don't mind that carb load post-workout. But other than that, I can't just too much carbs for me. It's just I don't feel good with that much carbs.
The good thing about MRE is that a lot of people have more sensitivity issues to whey protein and to milk products than they think. And so, like, people who told me who thought they had no sensitivity issues whatsoever, that would drink Isotope, which is 100% whey isolate, they'd be like, I don't have any problems. When they switched their post-workout meal to MRE, they started feeling better. So obviously there was something going on there. They didn't realize what was going on.
You just introduced a new product. I saw you holding a jar of something recently. What is it?
Yes.
What is that?
essential amino acids.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're always coming up with new products. Always coming up with new products.
So do you see yourself staying strictly in the supplement industry? Whatever happened with the retail store, the Boca Nutrition place?
Oh, when PJ and I broke up, so to say, I got the retail stores. And basically, they really weren't doing very well. And I've come to find out, this is an important thing for all these entrepreneurs out there, if they're watching, you know, you can't do too many things well. Right. And I think that people really want, and me too, want to say yes to any opportunity to make more money. You say, oh, yeah, sure, more money, better chance, more opportunity, all it's all good. But in reality, you have a finite, let's say you have this much energy, mental energy. If you break it up into 10 things, you're going to do probably shitty at all 10 things.
Right.
And so I basically made a decision, an educated decision, that these stores were not making really any money. And I had two retail locations. They're breaking even. It's not like they're losing a ton of money or anything, but they weren't really doing anything. And I played around with the idea of bringing on a partner, a famous partner, to help me push the stores. And when he decided not to do it, I was kind of like, you know what? I'm just going to shut him down. Because the truth of the matter is I don't have the mental energy and time to go physically train the employees and sell the stuff and be there in the store, manage the employees. Now, I'm absolutely confident, Carl. I would have dedicated myself to those stores. I would have 10 stores right now, and they'd all be killing it.
Right.
But I need to put every hour of every day into that, and I need to focus on it 100%. Because I could have made those stores awesome. I could have made them awesome. I have the ability to do it, and there are people out there that could have done it with me, and I know the way to do it. It's just that, like, it's like, what's it gonna net in the long run?
And it's gonna take away time from things that are actually producing more results for the time that you're putting in.
About it.
And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, so that's definitely part of it.
Your mom said the bar I sampled was yummy, and I ate the whole bar. It was only meant to be a sample. I guess she didn't know that. Yeah, I can't wait to try the bar. I have to be careful about bars, especially the ones with too much fiber in them. Are you putting fiber in your bar?
There is some fiber in the bar, but it's not a tremendous amount. I was looking for a sample. Hold on, let me tell you what's the final breakdown fiber. There's 3 grams of fiber.
I can do that. Yeah, I've found that as I got older, the higher fiber intake just it messes with my gut. I mean, it really it's painful almost. The more fiber I eat.
Take psyllium husk?
What's that?
You don't do that? You don't do psyllium husk?
No, I don't do any psyllium husks, no. No, I get enough fiber. I eat whole food all the time now. I mean, that's what I really do. The only time I drink anything is post workout. The rest of the time, like I have a pound of beef in my cooker right now that I'll have with green peas. I have like 3 servings of green peas, but I eat whole foods. And so I get a lot of fiber in my diet, but a lot of these bars today, they've gone crazy with the fiber. It's like 25 grams of fiber. No, too much. Yeah.
No, well, you definitely won't find that in my bar. It's only 3 grams of fiber and 6 grams of sugar, so it's not crazy.
That's good. What cars are you driving now? I know that you change up every now and then.
You know what, Carl? I don't talk. Believe it or not, I don't talk about the cars or show the cars anymore. I think it's a bad move.
I think you know what? I was going to actually ask you this question. So you lived your life really very, very out in the open when you and PJ had BSL. I mean, everything you did, you know, private planes and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden I noticed that you stopped doing that slowly. Did you do that for self-preservation? Did you do that because there was a backlash or what?
No, I did. I definitely did that consciously, 100%. And you see PJ is continuing to do the same thing. I don't do it. And the reason why I decided not to do it is because I don't think that people like it. I think that probably there's a small minority of people who will see a fancy car and a nice message that explains, you know, like you can obviously, you know, I didn't grow up with any kind of fancy.
Right.
I mean, not that I was lacking for anything, but I didn't have any fancy really anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
My parents always made sure that I had
the important things. The important things.
Whatever I needed. But no, I was not a kid that had a lot of fancy stuff growing up. I take it back. She's going to say, because she's watching, she did buy me Michael Jordan shoes, and they were very expensive.
Okay. At least you acknowledge it. That's good.
So she did buy some fancy stuff for me. But generally, didn't have that. And I think that I would have looked at something like that and been inspired. But I think most people look at something like that and say, fuck you. You know, what an asshole. They don't know the whole story, and they don't even care to hear the whole story of where I came from or where anybody came from to where they got to. So the truth of the matter is I just don't believe in it. I think it's a bad decision. And if you're buying stuff, items to show other people, you're buying them for the wrong reason. So now, if I buy a car and I buy a car so that I can post it and show it off and whatever, then it's stupid, man. That's so meaningless.
Right.
And pointless, because that's what you're just trying to prove to other people, or you're looking for a status symbol to make you feel better about yourself. And so my personal opinion for me now is that I no longer show that. I don't feature it. I don't really want to talk about it, because I don't think that it was my dad did not think it was a good idea. I think nobody really thought it was a good idea. You know, me and PJ at the time, you know, more PJ than me, but it was always kind of in your face about stuff. And I think that I just think it's a bad idea. So
I agree. I think that more people will develop animosity and jealousy towards you. And then they start to, and then they wish for bad things to happen to you. They're like, they want to see you come down. But more importantly, it also makes you a target, for litigations that are unnecessary, and for people causing problems that's unnecessary. I've never had to worry about that, because the last car I had was a 1987 Volvo wagon. I now have a nicer BMW, but it's nothing, you know, extravagant. But no, I think you're right. I think it's a good idea that you did play that down, and I did notice it. I was going to actually ask you that question. You know, why don't you do the cars and the planes on? And now I understand. So it makes perfect sense.
My opinion, Carl, is that it's better to keep all that stuff to yourself and just be happy for what you have, and don't look for approval from anybody else by posting or showing it. This is going to backfire.
I want to take one last commercial break for our interview, and then when we come back, lots of people are talking about off-topic, as you can see. You know, this is like off-topic. I want to talk about off-topic just for a second when we come back. I want to see what shows you remember, the ones that really stuck in your head. I have some that were really funny. We'll cover that when we come back. Stay tuned. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Guess who's back? Age Force is back with a buy one, get one free introductory offer to the Superhuman Radio audience. Choose from any of their amazingly popular patches. Their HGH secretagogue patch, testosterone booster, fat burner, anti-inflammatory patch, all of them buy one, get one free. Nootropic memory enhancer, melatonin and GABA, resveratrol, the list goes on and on. No one, I repeat, no one has the most complete list of patch delivered supplements than Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad today and get buy one get one free for the entire Superhuman Radio audience. Check it out. Don't wait.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen digestion during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Cana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Live On Labs. You too can benefit from Live On Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Live On Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Aaron Singerman, the anabolic CEO. I like that a lot. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about off-topic even for a couple minutes. And it's funny, I mentioned off-topic and your mom said, I loved off-topic. I also remember her was willing to buy us new t-shirts if we would change that stupid logo. Do you remember that conversation? Wait a minute, Aaron. I had you muted on the wrong side here. Go ahead. You remember that conversation?
Yeah, she did. She and my dad didn't like the Hitler mustache guy.
Yeah, and no one did. It's really funny. It wasn't Hitler. It was like an admiral that my daughter. My daughter's Jewish. She drew the mustache on it. And I said, you know, this is going to make like a really great logo because people are going to get freaked out about it. And it was really funny that everybody thought that was Hitler. And we had spent more time explaining that it wasn't than anything else.
Definitely got a lot of attention. If you wear the shirt anywhere, people would give you some strange looks. That's for sure.
Yeah. They look like they hate you. I still have two of the shirts at home. I remember the classic picture of the off-topic shirt was Sally Ann, from RX Muscle. She cut it all up and she had like the thong bathing suit on under it or something like that. She looked really good in that. What show sticks out in your mind? And we did 100 of them.
There's a lot of them. I mean, one of the ones I remember is that, the Milos one, I brought this up to him recently, Milos, where I was falling asleep because I had my wisdom teeth removed. I was on pain medicine and I was snoring during the interview with you.
That was hilarious.
I mean, we had some really epic ones where Amy, my girlfriend at the time, had cheated on me and we broke up. And then the next week we had her on to explain herself. I mean, that's.
Was it the week before or the week after that I kept playing Follow the Yellow Brick Road and the Munchkin song whenever we talked about Amy? Do you remember when I was doing that?
I remember, yeah. It was crazy. No, we definitely talked about everything. Obviously, you talked about your divorce with your wife and dealing with the process of that happening. And, I mean, you were the king of the Woman Haters Club at that point.
Remember that? Yeah. Yeah, I was actually going to start a show called Open Season on Men.
Yeah.
Which I really think is more timely than ever right now because of this whole
be a popular show. You would probably be a very popular show.
I've actually just dug up the intro that I made for it years and years ago, and I thought, you know, I should really brush this off because now with this whole toxic masculinity thing, which is really bizarre in the United States. If you're a man, you act like a man and you look like a man, somehow you're bad now. And
it's I'll tell you what, it's a especially weird time with all the molestation and all these constant accusations. It seems like every day you know, there's something new from somebody. And I'm sure some of them are terrible and true. And then some of them are just bullshit, just because that's the nature of human beings. You know, now there's like a mob mentality where thankfully, like my employees, I'm so proper with everybody and I treat everybody with the same respect no matter what. I don't have to worry. But I have plenty of friends out there that that are good hearted, that aren't doing, that aren't meaning to, but probably say things or act in a way. And I don't even touch anybody, but could get them in a lot of trouble.
Yes, I know. I especially in this industry. It's amazing. Bill Schultz says, off topic, he says, name three of your current influencers, regardless of that they do as a, what they do as a profession.
You know, people have asked me before of who I look up to or whatever. And to be honest, I don't really have any current like influencers where I like listen to them or I read specifically about what they've done or whatever. And I mean, I obviously always look up to people that have achieved something that you want to achieve. But it's tough. Like, you know, when back in the day, I would have said, you know, Howard Stern, you know, Joe Weider, Jay Cutler or something like that. You know, I would have picked those people, but to be honest with you, it would be really, I'd be really hard pressed. And I read a lot of books. I read every night I read an hour or so. And I definitely, you know, am influenced by what I read and the ideas that I read. And I utilize a lot of those ideas, but to say that the, to name three people that currently influence me, I don't think I'd be able to do that.
Do you still read fiction?
Yes, I go back and forth. I go back and forth.
So you got me to read fiction again. I hadn't read fiction since I was like in college. And I tell you, have you read any of the new Mitch Rapp books by the new guy that's picked up for Vince Flynn?
I just read the most recent one, but I haven't read. I don't know how many there are, but I read
two. He wrote two of them so far. I've read both of them. I think he's pretty good. I think he really adheres to Vince Flynn's style. He really does.
Good. I feel like Mitch Rapp is getting a little old now, right? To be out there on the field doing anything, right?
Well, they say that in the book too. You know, he's got all these injuries now. You know, and he's not doing well. I can't imagine they're going to keep him.
He's 60 years old.
How would be? How old?
He's got to be 60 or somewhere around 60.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can keep him young forever, technically, because he's a fictional character, so he doesn't have to age. But yeah, no, I know it's interesting, but I still like it. Lynn Singerman, fiction increases social IQ. Really? I never knew that. For me, fiction is a way for me to detach from all the stuff in the day.
It's an escape. So when I read fiction, it's like going to the movies or watching a good TV show. It's the same. So like I know a lot of people reading is harder for them or it's different. But to me, reading a good book is literally the same as watching a good movie. The benefit is that if it's good, if it's really good, then it lasts a lot longer and you get a lot more detail. So it's even better than a good movie. So I do definitely now I've switched a lot. So I'm trying to switch back and forth from going to fiction to nonfiction. And I really read both at the same night. So I have about five books that are on rotation now. And as I finish one, I'll insert another one. And that way I don't get too stuck on any one thing, unless it's something really good fiction wise. And then I can't quit.
How about Audible? Are you into Audible? I found Audible about 6 months ago and I listened to books on 1.5 to 2 times speed when I sit in the sauna. Have you tried that?
I've heard about people doing the 1.5 to 2 times speed, 1.5 times speed. But I don't actually, I really don't listen to books on tape too often. I mean, I have a few on my phone right now for planes, but you know what I do is I actually, I'll play it and I fall asleep. That's what gets me to fall asleep on a plane.
Yeah, that's funny. Let me see. Omar Hurtado says, how did you get Jordan Peters back on the team?
There's an athlete, and for people who don't know, in the UK, Jordan Peters, who has a very, very cult-like following. People love him, but he's not like super popular. He's not like a Kai Green or anywhere even remotely close to that. He's not in that realm, but the people who do follow him are like crazy for him. And he's a very, very nice guy, extremely smart guy, very open with what he does in terms of enhancement stuff. And he originally got on the team and he was working with us. Like I said, very smart guy, valuable team member. And then he said that he had too much with his his PhD or his master's degree, actually, and he needed to take a break. So he left. And then when he finished, he hit me up and said, hey, I'd like to come back. I said, of course, come on back. And that's the whole thing, basically. Yeah. He left because he said he had to. And I thought at the time, maybe he just didn't want to tell me he wanted to go to another company or whatever. But man of his word, and he literally hit me back up and said, I'm done. Can I come back? And that was it.
And you know what? He's got his eye on the prize. He knows what his priorities are. You know, that education is going
to be very rare, Carl, to have somebody say, I can't fulfill the commitments that I made to you. I want to step back until I can, and then actually come back and be like, now I can do it. I'm back. You know,
yeah,
pretty rare.
No, that is pretty cool. You want to plug anything before we pull the plug on this? Anything coming up? Any events that you're going to be at that people can see you at or anything like that?
I'm going to be at Arnold, the Arnold on March 1st. Are you going to go to Arnold this
year?
Oh,
yeah. I'll be there. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Make sure we go to dinner or
yes.
do something.
Yes.
Darielle's going to be there. Asher's coming, it sounds like. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sounds
That'd
like
be
Asher's
cool.
coming.
That'd be cool.
So you got to come hang out with Asher at the very least.
I'm going to hang out with him and leave you and Darielle flat. That's what I'm going to do. Uncle Carl is here, Asher. I follow, you know, I lurk. I follow all of Dariel's Instagrams, and I see the kids and how they're getting bigger, and Aiden and the baby. And it's like, it's funny because the social media platforms allow you to feel like you're part of it, even though you're not there. So I get to see them, and I get to see all the fun things that they're doing and when they're sick and everything else. So.
But look, all you have to do, Carl, have an extra bedroom. All you have to do is tell me you want to come down and you're in.
I'm going to. I really am. I am going to. I am. I promise you.
I've been saying that for years. So now I've got a big house. There's plenty of room.
And everybody's listening, so I can't back out. So there you go. All right, I'm glad we got to spend this time together. I really am. I miss you, okay? And we're going to take one quick commercial break. We're going to actually drop the video. We're going to go just to the podcast now when we talk to Dr. Kenneth Brown about SIBO. And overcoming small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. I'll see you on the other side.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000 or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon 1 banner ad today.
Guess who's back? Age Force is back with a buy one, get one free introductory offer to the Superhuman Radio audience. Choose from any of their amazingly popular patches. Their HGH secretagogue patch, testosterone booster, fat burner, anti-inflammatory patch. All of them buy one, get one free. Nootropic memory enhancer, melatonin and GABA, resveratrol. The list goes on and on. No one, I repeat, no one has the most complete list of patch delivered supplements than Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.net. And click the Age Force banner ad today and get buy one, get one free for the entire Superhuman Radio audience. Check it out. Don't wait.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenix Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenix Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenix Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenix banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenix Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Yo, give me something to dance to.
Welcome back. You know, I'm very fortunate. For 13 years, we have attracted companies that produce products that really work, that have served our audience. And that's a big task for me because, you know, signing up sponsors is part of the job, but signing up sponsors that actually produce products that will not detract from the credibility of the show, and the trust we've built in the audience for 13 years is a daunting task. Atrantil is one of those products. The formulator is Dr. Kenneth Brown. How you doing, Dr. Brown?
I'm doing great, Carl. Thank you so much for having me on your show again.
Yeah, so Atrantil has been so successful with the audience that we actually have people from other countries contacting your group. It's KBS Research, I think, and saying, we want to sell Atrantil here in Hungary. We want to offer it here in the UK. That's remarkable, isn't it? Did you expect this supplement to be that effective, that popular?
Well, I think it's one of those interesting things because as a scientist, when I did the initial studies, we were having, you know, incredible success in randomized placebo-controlled trials. So I knew we were on to something. Now, as a business person, you know, starting to having a startup and having to deal with that, I'm learning the other side of it, which is doing this kind of stuff. I expect it to work for the people that need it, that have the typical symptoms. Now getting the word out, that's a whole separate story. So the fact that going on your show and then having people from Hungary contact us, that's amazing. It sort of shows your clout out there. And that's what we realize is that I got to start embracing people like you that that look at the science, understand it, and really only rep products that you truly believe in.
So when I first started taking Atrantil, I developed some weird symptoms that were associated with something called Herkimer, which is the rapid die-off and almost a toxic effect from the rapid die-off of some of these microbes that were infesting my small intestine. Yes, it's you know, I always get them confused because it's actually the large one. It's really big, but it's short.
But yeah, it's almost a misnomer the way that the medical textbooks talk about it.
And you happened to be at an event, and you were kind enough to reply to my emails. I was like, you know, Dr. Brown, I don't understand it. I feel achy. I feel like weird. And you were like, yeah, I get this in a lot of different people who have a high degree of microbe seeding in the wrong places in their digestive tract. And it almost always works when this happens. And sure enough, I toughed it out for about 3 or 4 days. Just didn't feel, you know, it wasn't like I had flu-like symptoms. I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel good. I felt weird. You know what I mean? And I can say this on the show. My bowel movements were weird. And then all of a sudden it stopped. And I got to tell you something. The distension in my stomach is gone. And I've been using it now consistently since you guys started being a sponsor. This stuff is amazing. And I don't get nearly as bloated. And I still take them with every meal. But occasionally I'll forget. And I used to always get bloated eating any kind of acellular carbohydrate, anything made from any kind of tapioca flour, oat flour, anything like that. I don't get that anymore. So did I actually indirectly cure my SIBO?
Well, we would like to think that. So, you know, getting back to the clinical studies, we did not really develop this to be taken as a daily digestive aid. We discovered that later that it's very effective that way. But in many of the people that I do treat, they get better. Their SIBO gets better because we do a round of treatment, 2 capsules, 3 times a day, and they feel so good that they keep taking it. And then what we've learned is that the polyphenols in there are really good for you. So overall, it's a very good digestive supplement. We developed it to get rid of the SIBO. So most of the people that I treat take it over a course, and then they have periods where they feel great. Some of them never have symptoms again. Some of them have recurrence. And those are the people that we try and figure out why they're having recurrence.
So I have started to ponder probiotics. You know, it's such an emerging and new category. And I think I may have shared this with you before, but if I didn't, you know, I was taking a couple packets of VLS number 3 a day several years ago because I figured if one is good, two is better, you know, I'm American. And so I may have inadvertently caused the seeding of microbes in areas of my digestive system that they shouldn't B, is there any emerging science on the possibility that too much probiotics may not be a great idea?
Oof. All right. So this is a deep rabbit hole that I'm willing to go down right now because I think it's great that you brought it up. So first of all, probiotics. We know that probiotics are generally good for us. In other words, our microbiome, let's discuss our microbiome, which lives in our colon. You have over 1,000 species, 100 trillion different bacteria are living there. And after we discovered that those bacteria are doing very good things for us, many companies tried to figure out, well, if bacteria are good and somebody did a study that showed that the lactobacillus such and such species did this, then why don't you take this? And so take, you know, started out 1 million units, 2 million. Now we're up to, you know, companies are touting that they say that they've got 20 billion colony-forming units, CFUs, all these other things. So all that aside, let's just look at the science behind it. And unfortunately, when we look at the clinical data or in humans, probiotics have not been shown to be better than placebo in these large clinical trials. Now, a consensus statement is, like I tell all my patients, what I can tell you is that in the clinical trials, we know that these probiotics or these good bacteria do amazing things in a petri dish. Trying to replicate it in humans is the hard part. So I contacted, there's a doctor out of Houston named Eamon Quigley. This is a fantastic godfather of probiotics. This guy did the initial research over 40 years ago on probiotics. And I saw him at a meeting and I said, Eamon, Where are we at with probiotics here? I mean, obviously, it's an $18 billion a year industry. People are taking them right and left. And in the most honest statement ever, and this is a guy who has spent his life studying it, he just said, Ken, they do amazing things in a petri dish. we struggle to get them to do what we want in humans. Okay, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
And I'm not saying probiotics are good or bad. Now let's throw in what you're talking about. So we do know that people love to take probiotics. I saw Jamie Lee Curtis on TV talking about Activia and the cultures, and it became very fashionable to take it. Then people started to realize, oh my gosh, maybe the probiotics are dying in the stomach. Therefore, let's market our probiotic with something that protects it from being degraded by the acidity in the stomach. So you see all these new ads where people say, our probiotic makes it into the area where it should. And you said it best in the very beginning. We were like small bowel, which should be called the large bowel because it's the biggest thing. Here's what happens. We can't get those probiotics to live until it gets to the colon where it should be doing what we are hoping that it will do. So we have all these companies producing enteric-coated probiotics. They can make it out of the stomach because they're acid-resistant, and then they get into the duodenum, which is a basic environment, and it's quite possible that that enteric coating then dissolves immediately, and now you're seeding your bacterial overgrowth. This is why people with SIBO often feel worse taking probiotics.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's a very long-winded thing. Now, I had a really cool conversation. I was just in Miami at another meeting with a bunch of naturopaths. And when I talked to them about this, some of them are really on board. And they're like, yeah, that's why we only use spore-forming bacteria in the spore form. That makes much more sense to me.
See, that was my next question. I don't want to lose that, but I actually want to talk about eukaryocytes and spore, because that's becoming a very popular thing right now. But it sounds to me, in order to do probiotics right, we have to go back to what was being used therapeutically when they were doing fecal transplants. It sounds to me like if you want a probiotic that works, it needs to be in a suppository.
Oh, yeah. So I had a meeting. What's really hot right now is there's a disease called Clostridium difficile or C. diff. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah, of course. Elderly people get it. It's usually caused by overuse of antibiotics. Exactly. It could kill you. You could poop yourself to death, basically.
Exactly. It actually can cause toxic megacolon. You can become septic. You can die from it. It's a big deal. So that's what fecal microbial transplant is being looked at. So I was with a PhD who had all these mouse models, and he kind of summed up the whole problem with the probiotic issue. He developed a strain that very effectively could wipe out, this is a bacteria essentially wiping out another bacteria. So he was working with a strain, and the problem was that when he gave it to the mice orally, it didn't do anything. When he surgically injected the bacterium into the ileum right by the colon, it cured the C. diff. And what that tells me is that 20 feet of small bowel does a really good job of destroying the probiotic. When you give it directly to the colon, which is what you're talking about, that's when you start having the benefits, and that's a microbial transplant. So there was so that's something that we do as gastroenterologists. If somebody has really bad C. diff, you're going to love this. You can come in to see a gastroenterologist, and we will take poop from somebody else who's been screened and then do a colonoscopy and spray somebody else's poop in your colon, and that's considered a microbial transplant.
Yeah.
And that is super effective.
We had to do it for my mom when she was in the nursing home, and my niece had to go and donate poop for it. And it saved her life because she had developed from a round of antibiotics. She had chronic diarrhea. She was literally, you know, they said, look, if we don't do this, she's going to die. And it saved her life. It really did. So I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, so this is really cool. Here's some really good news for you. Just this month, January 2018, a study was published where it looked at fecal microbial transplants, or essentially what you're talking about. What they did is they took from donors and they freezed the poop in capsules, And it sounds disgusting, but you can decide which way you want to do it. And people that took the frozen capsules, they've actually survived till it got to the colon, and it was equivalent to the colonoscopy transplant that I just got done describing. They actually had a 96% cure rate. So it's fascinating that we have this dirt cheap, very abundant resource called human feces, and it's better than any drug we have out there.
So, let's overlay these two topics. So we understand that probiotics aren't getting where they belong, and they could be seeding in areas where you should not have a lot of microbes. Why aren't we delivering frozen probiotics then?
I think this is a cutting edge breakthrough study. So what happened is this: is there was a lot of momentum for the fecal microbial transplant. It got really exciting, super cool, and then guess what? The FDA got involved and said, whoa, we need to put that through the FDA process because you need to file an NDI number or all these different things and treat it like a drug. I'm like, what? All of us were like, are you kidding? It's poop. It's poop. That's all it is, and you're trying to control it. So it set everything back. And this is what some of these different companies have looked at. And they went, okay, now we can. So the gastroenterologist went and they fought for it. And they said, listen, people are dying. It's simple poop. It's not a big deal. So these kind of studies out of that grew this necessity to try and regulate it a little bit. And these companies that looked at freezing the poop, this is one of the first studies that have come out. So you're exactly right. We may want to start freezing our probiotics. Or take the spores. Any way to get it to the colon, you need to treat your microbiome that lives in your colon like your best buddy. It's a genome within a genome. Feed it what it wants. Give it what it needs. It'll help you out.
So spores are becoming popular. There's products out there right now that are being sold that are not probiotics, but they are instead spores, which are basically a fungi, which are considered a step above a microbe, right? So a fungus is a eukaryocyte and a microbe is an enterocyte. I forget, but one has a nucleus and one doesn't, right? The microbes don't have a nucleus. The fungi do. And the fungus reside in the stomach too. We only ever talk about the microbes in the stomach, but it appears that the funguses are kind of like sheep herder, and the microbes are like sheep, and they tend to surround themselves with the microbes they want and bring them along and use them. They actually kind of manipulate them and leverage them. So now we're seeing a whole new class of supplements, and that's these spores. Where do you stand on this?
Okay, so I'm just going to clarify a couple things.
Yeah,
that.
Please.
So
please.
When we talk about the different types of microbes, let's just call them microbes.
Okay.
We think of them in three major kingdoms. The first one is fungi, and this is all the fungus that we think about that are out there. So that's its own kingdom. The next kingdom is the Archaebacter, and that's where the SIBO comes in. Those are the very primitive organisms that don't have organelles. So that's like the Methanobrevibacter smithii, or that's the little guy that was growing in you that was producing methane when he could be exposed to carbs. And when he died, he didn't have any organelles, meaning that when he died, all his toxins just fell out. That was your die-off, was that guy. And then the final thing, which are eukaryotes and the prokaryotes, these are the whole kingdom of bacteria. So I'm not a microbiologist, but when I refer to spores, I'm usually talking about bacteria who can form spores. And so what spores are, it's amazing how these bacteria, and I'm going to be remiss here if I say yes or no to this. I'm pretty sure fungus can form spores also, but I'm much more familiar with the spore-forming bacteria. So think of it this way. You have bacteria, and they're so good at surviving that when the environment isn't right for them, they go into hibernation. And there's certain types of bacteria that can form spores. One type of bacteria that can form spores is that C. diff that we were talking about. Mm. It can hang out and wait till the antibiotics no longer around, and then it like wakes up like a bear from hibernation.
And the spore, because, the spore is basically a shell, right? It's just it kind of engulfs itself in a shell.
It's a protective shell for a dormant bacteria. So you can see, and it's much more resistant than the actual bacteria. So the spore can survive high temperatures, cold temperatures, acidic environments, basic environments. So I remember when I was, and this brings back a great memory, I was in undergrad, and I was taking a microbiology course, and I remember that on a final, it was an essay, and it said, what characteristic would you adapt as a human that the microbiome has taught you? And I did a whole essay on spore forming. Oh. And you can just like go, oh, this isn't the right environment for me. I'm just going to hole up and wait for the right environment. Oh, so the economy got bad. I'll just get in my little shell.
So it's like the suspended animation we see in these space movies where people travel through space for 200 years and don't age.
That's exactly it. And so people don't realize this, that you think, oh, I wiped everything down. And yes, the antiseptic that you use is very effective against a live absorbing bacteria, but it's not very effective against spores. And that, so that idea that we always feared spores, now some of these probiotic developers are going, no, maybe we should be using the spores. It'll get to the colon. We're then in a happy environment. It's going to avoid the stomach acids. It's going to avoid the basic environment, the pancreatic juices of the small bowel, make it to the colon. And then it can wake up and say, oh, hey, guys, I'm here to help.
But you can't get, like, Lactobacillus acidophilus or bifidobacteria to create its own spore. That's not characteristic of that particular bacteria, right?
That I'm actually unfamiliar with. These naturopaths I was working with, they most of them have shifted towards spore. They had a brand, and I totally forgot the brand.
It's Myo something, isn't it? It's HU46.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I just read about it this weekend, actually. I was just reading about it.
Yeah, so I'm a little new, since I've never really embraced the probiotic. And it's not that I'm bashing probiotics, Carl. It's that if probiotics really worked, then I would have an empty practice because everybody is on them.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, if they did what they're supposed to. So most of my practice is spent going, well, you know, clearly you've tried four or five of these. Let's just wait. Let's shift gears and let's figure out what's going on. So the whole spore forming thing is kind of new to me, and I'm looking into that. And I think it is a very smart way. And quite honestly, now you got me thinking about the way that they're freezing it for the microbial transplant. It's probably another way to do it.
Very, very cool. That's interesting, the freezing part. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about silent GERD. So I may have shared with you last time you were on the show that I suffered from silent GERD. I'm actually reversing it. I want to talk to you about what I'm doing, and I want to get your opinion, okay? So we're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Dr. Kenneth Brown, formulator of Atrantil. I'm telling you, Atrantil makes every single meal feel like you don't have anything in your stomach when you're done eating. And I know so many athletes that are using it now that have heard about it on the show because they're bulking and they're eating 5,000 and 6,000 calories a day, and they all say the same thing. They take two Atrantil with a meal and they don't feel full. If you're not trying, if you haven't tried it yet, you've got to try it. It's an amazing supplement. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. lovemytummy.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes? The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass, vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperhumanRadio.net.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Kana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Kana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Kana banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Kenneth Brown, formulator of Atrantil, possibly one of the best gut supplements I've ever taken in my life because it works, and it works immediately. Okay, so I've suffered from silent GERD for some time now. It actually started about 2 years ago when I started to notice this almost lemony taste in my mouth. And then I started noticing that I was salivating more often. And I started to do my research on it. What is it? Something laryngeal reflux disorder, right? LPS or LPR or something like that. And I've read that there's nothing you can do for it. You've got to address GERD, but I don't have GERD. I don't have heartburn ever, ever, ever. But they say, well, the lower esophageal sphincter is not working right, so it's sending stuff up through the esophagus and it's getting up there, and then that's opening up and letting it up. And I noticed my voice would be hoarse some mornings, and raspy. My snoring got worse because I obviously, if that acid is coming up, you know, the palate in the back of the throat becomes inflamed and it's hanging. And I really thought I was doomed. I was like, there's nothing I can do about this. Then I started to think. I started doing research about snoring, and I started to do research, and I started to look at the muscles of the neck, and here's what I came up with, and it's working. The it's not completely gone, but it's 80% better than it was just a couple months ago. Number one, I'm doing neck extensions now. They have a machine at my gym, but you could do this anywhere you want. You could do wrestler's bridges, whatever. I'm doing neck extensions now because I found that in fact does cause the muscles that control the laryngeal sphincter to activate, number one. Number two, I don't play a saxophone, and I don't play a dirigidoo, but I put my hand against my lips, I purse my lips, and I blow hard for 10, a count of 10, letting air slip out from underneath my hand slowly. Because my theory is, when you do that, all the muscles in the throat prepare for the back pressure. And I have to believe that the laryngeal sphincter tightens up too to keep air from getting down into the esophagus. And the third thing that I've been doing is taking 20 grams of glutamine 3 times a day to deal with the gut inflammation that is obviously contributing to all of this. And I can tell you, and it's not a placebo, with complete assuredness that it's getting better. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's fascinating. I think it's really interesting. LPR is the bane of, well, irritable bowel syndrome, and now we realize that can be caused by SIBO, but LPR is the bane of most gastroenterologists. It's very tough to treat. People come in, they have got these nonspecific issues, just like you said, the hoarseness, possibly some increased snoring. They have just a throat irritation, and the biggest problem we run into is a chronic cough. A lot of times people will present with that. Now, from a gastroenterology perspective, what is traditionally said is you have this lower esophageal sphincter relaxation, meaning that you have these sphincters that normally stay tight in your body. Let's just talk about them real quick. You have the upper esophageal sphincter, which is at the back of your throat, and I'm going to address how these exercises, which is very ingenious of you to sit there and think about that. Then you have the lower esophageal sphincter, which is one we always talk about when we talk about acid reflux. Then you have the pylorus getting out of the stomach, and then it goes all the way down to the anus. And the anus is your final sphincter. Now, those sphincters stay contracted all the time, or at least they're supposed to. And the theory is that when you have what's called a transient lower esophageal sphincter relaxation, a TSLR is what we call it, then it allows acid to come up. When that happens, the theory is that you have a reflex where your upper esophageal sphincter relaxes also, sort of a cause and effect type thing. So the upper esophageal sphincter is the least studied of what's been done. So LPR, relatively new, the throat doctors talk about it, the pulmonary doctors or the lung doctors talk about it, and then it lands in our lap. So it is very interesting that you've already associated the fact that your snoring gets worse, because that's a vicious cycle. I think last time I was on your show, we did briefly discuss sleep. I'm a big sleep fan, where I realize that sleep is really important for overall health. And if you're having some reflux, which results in snoring, which can then result in obstructive sleep apnea, then you, whenever you have an apneic episode, you actually increase your intrathoracic pressure and you'll draw more of the stomach contents up, creating more of this vicious cycle. And we do know that snoring is really caused by a laxity or a less tone of the posterior pharynx. So it's interesting that you figured out that by making those muscles contract, you're really trying to tighten them. I think it's kind of interesting.
I'm working them out. So I found one article that said that you can activate the upper laryngeal sphincter by doing neck extensions, which I've progressively, now I'm up to 110 pounds. I do 20 reps, two sets, 20 reps, and that's it. I'm very cautious because this is my neck I'm talking about. I don't want to injure my cervical spine. But the thing that I do throughout the day, whenever I'm in the car, I'm sure people at the traffic light look at me and think, what the hell is this guy doing? I literally put my hand over my mouth like someone's trying to keep me from talking. And I keep my lips pursed and I don't let my cheeks blow out like Dizzy Gillespie. I keep my cheeks very, very tight. And I activate all those muscles by the back pressure that I see, because there's a really great study that playing the dirigidoo, which is this huge flute-like device that the Aborigines play in Australia. But it's a very large thing. You have to open your mouth wide and put it around the top of this thing. And by blowing into the dirigidoo, actually cured people who had mild to moderate snoring completely. Like in 6 months, they didn't snore anymore. And what they said was that the activation of the muscles to force air into that column over and over again for long periods of time. You're basically, it's like working out. It's like doing curls, but you're doing it with your throat muscles. And I thought, well, I don't have a didgeridoo, and I used to play a saxophone, but I can't do that. My neighbors will start shooting at me. And so I just use my mouth and my hand to create that back pressure. I purse my lips, and I blow as hard as I can. And little by little, those muscles are getting stronger, because I can tell you one of the things that used to happen. My dry cough is all but gone now. I could almost time it. It must have been peristalsis or something, because every about hour and a half, I would have an occurrence where I'd feel like grit was coming up. And it wasn't agita, you know, in Italian we say agita. It wasn't heartburn. It wasn't regurgitation, but it was this sense that something was there and it was on my vocal cords, and I had to keep clearing my vocal cords. I don't have that. I have that maybe once a day now since I've been doing these exercises. It used to happen constantly, every hour and a half. In fact, my audience knows I used to have to kill my mic to cough sometimes. So this is working for me. These exercises are working for me.
That is awesome. Now you got me thinking, because I've got a couple patients. I just had somebody in who's a professional flutist or flautist. If you're Italian, I guess it's flautist. If you're here, then it's a flutist, but she's part of the symphony. And we were addressing some of these things where she noticed that her colleagues, they'll actually talk about bloating that they experience, and certain instruments actually are producing more symptoms. And the flute is one of them. But if you stop and think about it, it's very different than the didgeridoo, where it's long, open, controlled breaths.
Yes.
This is a short, staccato, forced air, it disrupts your breathing pattern type of, you know, playing.
Well, and you know, and you're breathing in quickly, right? It's in and out, in and out. And the other thing is, there's really no back pressure playing a flute, right? You're passively blowing horizontally over an opening. With the dirigidoo or something like the saxophone or even the trumpet, you actually are controlling back pressure with the muscles in your throat and in your cheeks and in your jaw. And that's what it takes. It takes that controlled back pressure, I've determined, to activate those muscles that close. And I'll tell you something else. When I first started doing this, I used to have to belch after doing one of them. Like if I did it for 10 seconds, I had to belch. And that's because the esophageal sphincter and the was weak, and the air was getting down into my gut. I don't belch anymore when I do it, because it's getting stronger and it's causing a better seal, and it's the air's not getting down into my gut anymore.
Oh wow, Carl, you just hit on something that's really interesting. So another thing that I have to deal with quite a bit is people will burp all day long, and it's very hard to talk to a patient and say, look, do you burp after you eat? No. If I'm in a meeting and I start getting stressed, I'll just start burping. And what that is literally they're swallowing air and they don't realize it. And it's the upper esophageal sphincter relaxes without them knowing, and they swallow micro amounts of air. And the only relation that I can give to this is that one time I was giving a public lecture and the mic wasn't working real well, so I was trying to really project myself, taking these deep breaths and really forcing it. And obviously, I'm a little nervous. I'm on stage. Oh, my gosh. I ended up letting out totally inadvertently like this long burp that really wasn't like from my stomach. It was from my esophagus.
Right.
I had been swallowing little amounts of air the whole talk, and it just came out unexpectedly. The fact that you have these burps and then it goes away tells me that sphincter is tightening up.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in a few months it's going to be gone completely, and it really has been the bane. I mean, I've struggled with it. There have been times where I haven't joined in a conversation because of hypersalivation, and I've been like, I just have to keep my mouth shut, because if I start talking, I'm going to start coughing until it goes away. And I got to tell you, I looked at my watch and I thought, well, how often does peristalsis happen? Like this stomach does its thing and all that, because it's like every hour and a half. It would strike, and then it would go away. And then it would strike, and then it would go away. But, yeah, I've got it under control. So feel free to steal a couple pages out of the book here and use it with some of your patients. I think it would be interesting.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I never even thought about that, and I'm going to start doing that, especially with these people that have these sort of chronic burping when they get into environments. Because it's very hard for them. They're like, they're, you know, most of them are executives or they're, you know, some high-powered person that's like, listen, I got to give these presentations. I start burping uncontrollably. And, you know, I'm trying to tell them that they're swallowing air. They're like, I'm not swallowing any air. Even though they're very type A people, they're like, I'm telling you, I'm not doing that. But I can just get them to do these exercises when they're driving home, driving in. And maybe it'll start correcting some of that. That's a great idea.
The other thing I would ask them is, do you chronically have stuffy nose, right? Because one of the things that started happening when I first developed this was my nose would get stuffy all the time. And that's because these fumes, if you will, that are coming up from your gut, they hit the tissue, the mucous membranes in your nose, and you just get a stuffy nose. And when you have a stuffy nose, you can't help but breathe through your mouth. But here's the interesting thing. If you breathe through your mouth but exhale through your nose, you're causing back pressure that pushes the air back down into your esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these people, they may have stuffy noses and they're breathing partially through their nose, partially through their mouth, and they're actually forcing air back down into their gut.
Yeah, so we've gone so far as, like, as far as medical treatments, we, you know, clearly try and control the acid. And so I believe in nighttime acid reflux may be contributing to it. We'll go so far as to put people on a muscle relaxer called baclofen, which actually doesn't allow the upper and lower esophageal sphincter to open up. So in really bad cases, that's what we start using.
Really? But doesn't that affect the entire body, or is it systemically only focused on certain types of smooth muscle?
Absolutely affects the entire body, which is why, you know, it's the same thing that we, you know, you want to treat an infection in one area, but you got to give the whole body the antibiotics that can wreak havoc in other places.
Well,
I try not to use stuff like that when I'm just working on one area of the body. I'm like, but you're going to feel tired, and this is a muscle relaxer, and it's going to relax everything. So,
do you ask any of your male patients who suffer from this if they're taking PDE5 inhibitors? Because one of the studies I found, because I started digging into the esophageal sphincter in general, I found that people who take PDE5 inhibitors in fairly large doses, they tend to suffer from greater heartburn. And what I found out was that the same type of muscle that that is in the penis is also what controls the esophageal sphincter and the lower, both upper and lower. And when people take PDE5 inhibitors, they could, over time, develop this condition.
I'm sorry, Carl, what is a PDE5 inhibitor?
Viagra, Cialis, any of those,
yeah.
They can act.
That's a running joke. Yeah, when that first came out, that made reflex way worse on people.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that would be a good thing. Hey, listen, it's been great to talk to you today. And I have to tell you, I have to commend you on creating a Triantil because it's changed my life. It's changed my life because I can eat more frequently now and I don't feel full. I never feel full anymore because of this supplement. It's fantastic.
Well, I love it. And thank you so much for helping us spread the word. And I really like, you know, both times I've been on your show, I've learned a lot myself. I love it. Have me on whenever you want. I'll try and keep you updated to these different things that we have going on in our literature, like freezing the poop and eating that. Nobody thought we'd talk about that on this show.
Yeah, so. Right. I got to stay away from that comment. I got something I was going to say, but I'm gonna keep it to myself. But anyway, yes, we will have you back on. And if you have questions about your gut, your digestive system, or any of these types of topics, email them to onair@superhumanradio.net, and we'll get Dr. Brown back on to answer them. Listen, thanks a lot for being on today.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it once again.
Take care. And we also want to thank Aaron Singerman for the first hour. Go to redcon1, R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, to learn more about some of the greatest supplements, really. Intelligently designed supplements. I got to commend Aaron. Really, really good stuff. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening today.